Well, this morning for a few minutes I want to take you back to an episode in the Old Testament. On Sunday morning I was preaching somewhere else, and I was preaching on the passage in 1 Samuel chapter 4. You will know it when I say the word Ichabod. You remember the woman, the mother, who was went into labor when she heard of the death of her husband, Phinehas. She went into labor, premature labor. She brought forth a boy. She died in the labor. But she said Ichabod for the name of the boy. Do you remember why she said Ichabod? Because?
The glory of God.
Well, yeah, well, somebody had lost something.
The glory
had gone because something had happened. What happened?
The ark.
The ark.
Yes.
Israel had been defeated by the Philistines. You will find it in 1 Samuel, the early chapters. They had been defeated by the Philistines. Now, I am sure the reason they were defeated, if you read the early chapters of 1 Samuel, is because there was wickedness in high places. There was wickedness in the covenant. There was wickedness in the tabernacle. The sons of Eli were playing... Well, as I say, playing the fool. Actually, they were acting wickedly, carnally. And Eli had not disciplined them. And God had spoken about this through the boy Samuel. But they were defeated. I mustn't take long over this. But they were defeated. But they went back to the camp and they talked it over and they said, we were defeated. Now, they didn't say, let's repent. They didn't say, let's reform. Let's put things right. What they said is, we'll devise our own scheme, we'll have got a clever idea, and we'll take the ark with us, that box. Now, it was only a box, but God had said that the special items of the law, the Ten Commandments and so on, other things, were in this special box, and it was the place where God met, within the tabernacle, a special place where God met. There was nothing special in the box, in itself, but it was the association that God gave to it. They had no right to take that ark out of the tabernacle from Shiloh and take it to the front, to the war. But they thought, if we take the ark, God will be with us. They had a magical view, you see, superstitious view. And what happened then? They suffered an even bigger defeat. And what is more, they lost the ark. And the ark was taken by the Philistines back to their own people. Now, other things happened with Hophni and Phinehas, but I want to get on to what happened with the ark. They take the ark, the Philistines take the ark back to their own country. And they place it, if you remember, in the temple of Dagon, their god. See, they're pagans. They're Philistines. So we understand this. One more god, this is what they think. One more god, well, the more the merrier. See? I mean, Paul found this in Athens, didn't he? You remember, he walked around, he said, look at all these altars you've got, all these gods. And he said, I even found one, he said, you have one for luck, because you have one to the unknown god. Making sure, you see, this is what paganism is. If you've ever been in places where you've seen the ruins of Rome or Greece, you've seen plenty of temples. They've got temples to everybody and anybody. They love gods. But it's not just ancient Rome, my friend. It's not just ancient Greece. It's not just the Philistines. It's going on today in Bedfordshire. It's going on now. The pagan gods are not the gods that used to be statues and idols, although there's plenty of that about. But I'm afraid if you look at your Bible, you'll see that idol worship is much more subtle than that. Greed is an idol. Gluttony is an idol. The love of sex is an idol, excessive, you know, all that kind of stuff. Entertainment, pleasure, all these things can be made God. Money can be made a God, okay? Sport can be made a God. You watch it on the telly. Cooking can be made a God. I'll tell you, it goes on. Yeah, you can. Right. Now, I want to just remind you of what happened. You know it, but let me just read it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 5. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from, you know this by the back of your hand, but let me just read it. And brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. You see, you can see their idea. Here's our god, now here's another one. Great, see? Two's better than one. Right. on the morrow, when Ashdod rose early on the morrow, the next day, behold, well, you know the story, what was happened. Dagon had fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Do you think God was telling him something? The day is Dagon, they go in the temple, and here's Dagon, he's down, and he's fallen before the ark of the Lord, and he's down on his face. Do you think God is telling him something? I think he is. I think he's telling him something. They got eyes to see and ears to hear. No, they're not listening to that. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Have a think about that. If you read Isaiah chapter 46, you will find that God says the Babylonians have their gods. He says, another people. He said, they have their gods. He said, but they're so heavy and they can't move, they have to cart them about. They have to put them on a cart and carry them about. They can't move. And God, if you read it, is really laughing at them. And he laughs at them over and over again in his word. They've got eyes, but they can't see. They've got ears, but they can't hear. They've got mouth, but they can't speak. Those that make them are like them. They're daft. They're trash. They're useless. Dagon can't pick himself up. They've got to pick him up and tack him up, stand him up again. Do you want a God like that? If you read Isaiah 46, there's a wonderful joke there. Let me tell you what the joke is. Read it. People don't like me using that word, but it's a wonderful joke. This is what God says. The Babylonians have to carry their gods, but I will carry you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Down to old age even will I carry you. I'd rather have a God who can carry me than a God that I've got to carry. I'd rather have a God who can look after me than I've got to look after. I don't want a God who can't stand for himself. I don't want a God who's got to be propped up and carted about. Anyway, I mustn't digress too long. The next day, when they tacked him up, what happened then? Well, they found he was fallen on his face to the ground, or verse 4 now, at the ark of the Lord. Here he is, Dagon's on the ground now, and something worse has happened. The head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left there. He was absolutely in ruins. I don't think the Philistines got the message. I wonder if Israel got the message. Well, I'm not too sure about that. Let me tell you what the message is. Stands out to me anyway. It's what God says again and again and again in his word. My glory I will not give to another. You can stand me in a temple with other gods if you like. It's not me at all, it's only a box. But I'm not going to allow anything to rob me of my glory. Yeah. What did God say to Israel in the law? How did he open this? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's go further. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. I think he's teaching the Philistines here. I think he's teaching Israel. Israel, you can devise your schemes. You can make your plans and end in ruin. Don't you realize I am going to get the glory everywhere? Rely on me. Now, I've only got 10 minutes, so it's over now. But I'd like to develop this. Let me develop it in just one or two ways, just to show you what the way this can be applied. You must do it for yourself. Here am I, a preacher. I see the weakness of me standing and talking to you like this. Well, what can I do? Nothing. And it's tempting to think, let's devise other ways of spreading the gospel. But as I read my Bible, I see it is by the foolishness of preaching. And the power of God is still in the preaching of the gospel. I read this in 1 Corinthians 1 over and over again. I read it in 1 Corinthians 2. God is pleased to take the foolishness of preaching, the weakness of people like me and like you, and use the weak and the foolish things to confound the mighty, so that in all things he might receive the glory and the preeminence. If anybody is converted under what I'm doing, it can only be of God. How can a man's voice convict, awaken people? But God can do it by Spirit, not by might, nor by power. You've got it then. By my
Spirit.
Where did that come from? Do you know?
I
Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 4. Right?
Yes.
It is the truth, isn't it? Not by might. Not by schemes. Not by plans. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Yeah. We must preach in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's what we need. There's one application I would make it. My brothers and sisters, in our trying to evangelize and spread the gospel, let us stick to the old gospel and preach in the old way with the power of God's Spirit, and He will get all the glory. No glory to Dagon there. But there's a word too, there's another application. There's a word I would offer to the unbeliever. Unbelievers are full of schemes to devise their own way of salvation. Oh, they think by going to church or chapel or saying their prayers or being decent or respectable. No, my friend, the only way an unbeliever, if you are one, will ever be saved is by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving all the glory and all the praise to Him. You cannot save yourself. No vicar, priest, minister, whatever you want to call him, pastor, can save you. Only Jesus Christ. God will not share His glory with another. That's what I learned from the book of Samuel from Dagon. Now, I don't know whether Israel learned it. In fact, I know they didn't. Because they forever going off to other gods. Oh, we'll have that God here. They'll bring the God here. They'll do what they did all over again. Again and again and again. I'm afraid many evangelicals are doing it today. They're going to pagan ideas. They're going to worldly ideas. No, my friend, as for me, I'll tell you, I'm going to stick with that good old ancient way, the gospel way. And if God does not bless that, then the other methods won't work. God will not share His glory with another. That's what I wanted to say from 1 Samuel chapter 5.